Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton.
Hello.
Hey, fellas. I feel like I've just seen you, like, very recently.
I've been depressed all day. We had so much.
Depressed?
We had so much fun this weekend, and today I've just been depressed.
For those of you who may not know, Josh and JT came and hang out at my house all weekend. We shot fireworks, smoked cigars, drank a little bit. We didn't drink a lot. We drank a little bit and had amazing food.
We ate a lot.
We did.
Yeah, it was a great weekend.
Dad, best barbecue I've ever put in my mouth. JT's dad's butt is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Like,
is that the way to put that? Is that the best way to say that?
Let me run down my food. This is just Saturday, so me and Ken wake up before everybody. Well, I woke up before everybody else did. I was the first riser. I read the whole Book of Mark, and then Kenny woke up. And then we went to Bojangles, and I had like a whole Bojangles meal, okay? And then a couple hours later, JT is walking around in his, you know, America shirt and his cutoff shorts with his Kaga hat on. He's like, hey, you want to go to Pizza Hut? I'm like, I'm in. I can't say no to that. So we go to Pizza Hut. I have a whole, you know, slew of pizza at Pizza Hut. Okay, this is like, what, 1 o'clock? 1:30?
To be fair, my daughter's been telling you the whole time that you're going to have a feast that night.
And then
you're ignoring her.
Okay, and then after that, JT, or was it before? No, it was after that, JT gets his dad's butt ready for us, the pork butt, and then we're walking around just nibbling on this pork butt. This is the best pork butt I've ever had in my life. And then we made a feast. Mm-hmm. We had like pork loin or pork tenderloin, and Cynthia made me squash casserole. Mm-hmm. And then you made something, some more pork tenderloin.
Fried taters, fried onions were a big hit.
And then
pressure cooked and steamed air fried pork tenderloin.
Yeah.
Honey sriracha tenderloin.
And then we go to your aunt's house. Okay, and there's hot dogs and homemade ice cream and watermelon.
Yep. And you skipped Friday night where we had...
Yeah.
Gumwalk Barbecue Fish Lodge.
Oh, Friday night,
The greater y'all. Livonia area.
Yeah, Gumwalk Fish House.
Yeah, the best 12 bucks.
It's like,
bucks
what, 12 bucks for a large?
Meal. Yeah.
Yeah, large
catfish
plate, man.
I got the combo. It's $12.75. You know me,
And it was a mountain of
Josh actually said, hey, baby, it's only a dollar more for the large. And then Josh couldn't eat all his food.
I couldn't. Yeah.
I felt like I was fixing to see her give him the speech about going to get her oil changed and getting upcharged. It was just, but she didn't.
Hey, y'all make fun of me. Hey, y'all make fun of me for being a stickler. You know who the biggest stickler around here is?
JT?
No, Mallory Holton. She is like she's the Dave Ramsey. She is the Dave Ramsey of Georgia. If JT could drop like $3, you know, on a, I don't know, like a gumball, and she would check the books.
Okay. Let me take up for Mallory. She's not here.
She would check the books.
JT doesn't drop $3 on anything. JT would drop like $35 on a per shirt on like 30 t-shirts.
Hey, those are really cool t-shirts though.
And then he would go buy a brand new truck and create a brand new truck payment on top of that.
There's a truck payment.
Then he would have another kid, which costs even more money.
But those are all important things. And Mallory is buying
a lot
apps.
Of alcohol and
she's
smoke
buying
a lot of cigars.
She's buying things off the cloud. You can't even see. Like just she's buying apps. And JT is buying things you can use. I'm just saying. Just
I appreciate you trying to take up for JT here, Josh. I'm not sure it's going to work, but it's a nice gesture anyway. So
please don't let Mallory listen to this podcast.
No, she's like she doesn't listen. You're absolutely right. Yeah, because if left to my own devices, I would buy that $28 Pappy Van Winkle cigar that they only make just because idiots like me will go, oh, Pappy Van Winkle. Yeah, it must be the best. Or I'll buy a $25 Gumlog barbecue t-shirt. And then I'll say, hey, how much for that framed Dale Earnhardt poster you got there? I'll give you $200 for it. And then... yeah,
you totally would have bought that.
I would have.
I can't believe we didn't buy those cups from that cigar shop, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we just didn't even think about it.
I was the one told you not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the one told you not to because I was afraid you'd get in trouble. I was having to be dad.
We had a good time, though.
We did have a good time.
I miss Livonia and the people there.
Well, it's hot. It was a little cooler today, though. It just rained for like an hour and a half, so it's poured rain. So a tad cooler today.
It rained here, so my truck is now clean, which is good.
Because we also had fresh peaches.
Fresh peaches.
The dirt road was rough on you.
I've had a peach before in my life, but like not like that, dude. Whatever peaches you have.
Gotta tell you, if you'd have peeled it, it would have been the best thing you've ever
put
in your mouth.
Please, Kenny, stop. Nobody peels peaches. Kenny, stop.
You peel your bananas too, right? Weirdo.
Oh, man.
That sounds like we got to put that. That needs to be a Twitter poll. Who peels peaches?
Oh, and then John D. Howard came by with his girlfriend.
That's right. Yeah.
John D. Howard did come by with his girlfriend.
And you finally met Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was fun.
Wait, have y'all met? Not met Meredith?
And John D. Howard was wearing Crocs. No, Kenny has not met Meredith yet.
She's cool. She's real. She is a real person. We all wondered that at the beginning. Meredith. No one's seen her.
Okay.
Actually, she is real, and she's really neat and really cool. So.
Yeah.
Maybe she was kind of quiet.
Well, she was a little bit drunk. So.
Oh. Gonna play. Way to go, Josh.
Right under the bus.
Wow. Just wow. Wow, Josh. Wow.
Drunk with excitement to get to meet us. That's what he meant.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And John D. Howard was wearing his new Crocs that he got.
Josh is going to get a sternly worded text message about that.
It'll be terse. What? No doubt.
100%.
No.
100%.
I like Meredith.
From John.
And you guys won't believe this, but John Howard showed up. And I don't know if you guys wouldn't believe it, but wearing nothing but baseballism. I think he's a minority owner in the company. So many shares at this point where he's basically he owns half of Chick-fil-A and now half of baseballism.
He walked us into baseballism that one time. It was 2 years ago. And we felt we were like Led Zeppelin. They hooked us up with caps. It was crazy.
Yeah. I'm just going to walk in there now on. I know John Howard, so can I have this? See if it works.
I mean, JT, you could just walk in and say, I'm JT Holton. You're that level of famous.
You might have heard me on the podcast.
Yeah, for real.
We are followed by Luke Jackson now.
Who not just follows us, but comments on our Twitter posts.
He likes our Croc posts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we just say I was so excited?
Since he's not going to be playing baseball, it seems like it's a good idea for him to at least at least be able to engage.
Since he's probably listening, I just want to say, Luke, I was so excited that you commented on our Twitter that I had Josh screenshot it and send it to me in text message so I can have proof that Luke Jackson once commented on a picture of me for the rest. So that way, when you're in Hall of Fame and you're getting your bust in Cooperstown, I can be like, look, kids, this guy tweeted at me once.
JT never misses a bust in Cooperstown, but he you know, the thing about JT is he never misses an opportunity to have his picture taken or his name associated with greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, pictures with Josh and Ken this weekend, but really? Also special stops by the University of Georgia. Did you get to meet Kirby?
No, we went by. I was going to take a picture of his parking spot in the coach's offices, but apparently it's just a name.
Weird at all.
Well, it just says, I thought it'd be funny. Like, hey, you know. It's not as bad as going to his doorstep and taking a picture by his mailbox or something. But
it's not like you have a doll that you bob its head and work for hours and hours to be sure it's ready to go and get it signed every year before. So.
I don't have. I'm not bringing my toys.
You definitely.
Bobbleheads. You get a bobblehead, and then when you custom make that bobblehead,
I would love a custom bobblehead of me.
And draw stuff on. Yeah, me too. It'd be kind of cool.
Y'all know the first stadium I can't take this back, but the first stadium my son ever went to is always going to be Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, aka the Swamp in Gainesville, Florida. So I felt like I had to make up for that somehow, some way.
Yeah, you're a terrible father. I mean, that's so bad.
He's 3 months old and he's been to two stadiums, which is pretty neat. So
hey,
yeah,
speaking
we just went
of
there
the Swamp. Hey, speaking of the Swamp, up until like last week, I thought when they were saying Gator Bait, I thought they were saying that because they were the Gators, and like the people that played against them were like the enemy, and they were gonna, you know, kick our butts. I thought that's why they were saying Gator Bait, but it turns out that's not why they were saying Gator. They were saying Gator Bait because they were they were all very racist.
I thought they were saying Gator Bait as in that's what they were gonna do because the only way they could win is if they played with themselves. And that's just nice. What they called it.
Nice.
It's Gator Bait.
I can see that. This seems logical.
That's what I always thought it meant.
Okay.
Yeah, well, fellas, you know, it's been a week of things that I didn't understand being racist being declared racist. You know, it's been really a month of that.
Yeah.
But the Washington Redskins are being pushed to change their name once again. Nike is not going to carry their gear, and FedEx Field has asked them to change their name. I find it amusing, fellas, that while in our nation there are hundreds of thousands of people supposedly marching in the name of black-skinned Americans,
mm-hmm.
that we are simultaneously trying and making it a big point that black lives matter, that we are simultaneously trying to remove the identity of red skin and red lives. So red lives don't matter.
Correct.
We want them gone. Black lives do matter. Is that correct take, fella? Is that the way that I should be looking at that?
I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I don't need to have an opinion on this because, well, I guess like anybody from the South, we're all like 1/16 Cherokee. Like, you know, pretty much everybody you know will be like, oh, I have Native American. Like, I'm not unique in that. But I feel like, I don't know. Like,
and then you take the ancestry test and you're actually like 0.00001 like me. Like, I'm the whitest guy ever. Like,
Croatian,
I grew up, my mama told me
like,
like growing up, mama was like, "Yeah, you're at least 1/16 for sure. Like your great great grandfather was."
I did know my great grandmother was like Cherokee in it, like full like Cherokee. My granddad's mother.
You should take the test.
You should take
the ancestry thing.
You just poop in a cup or something, right?
I don't think it's poop. Just saying. Like,
they just said go to the bathroom, so I didn't know what it meant. But because you have some people from these reservations and some ranking official in the, you know, Cherokee Nation or whatever will say it's offensive. And then you have some other guy from some other, you know, designation of Indian will say, no, it's not offensive. And I'm like, okay, well, y'all just need to figure this out. You know, I can totally understand Redskin being offensive. It sounds bad. Like, it just doesn't pass the test. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds groovy,
you know,
in a way chief or brave doesn't.
It would be bad if someone like ran around saying white man. Like that white man, like that's bad, right?
Well, didn't they call us that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I don't really understand the difference in red skin and white man. Like,
so
man,
let's break it down.
So
the term red skin is and I don't know, I've seen a lot of videos it's one of those things where like you can kind of find content and media to coincide
with your opinion.
Yeah, so all the stuff I've seen has been interviews with Native American people, leaders of different tribes, saying things like, yeah, we don't find a problem at all. It's actually pretty awesome. I'm sure there's just as much content that says, yeah, it's the worst thing ever. Maybe, I don't know. But so the term Redskins, according to the tribe of the pre-striving Caucasians of East Cobb, is offensive because their skin's not literally red, and so the logic, I think what Kenny's saying is so logically, by the same logic, wouldn't that mean saying black guy or the black girl or black people
or white guy
or black lives matter?
I don't think the name itself is that bad. Like, but if you had a team named the Boston Black Guys, people would be like, whoa, no, you can't do that. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with saying
but
black guy.
Why would they do that? Why would nobody
that's
have
so
why
weird
would
thing.
Have
why would you name
that?
Your team that? But that's
I would
like
be,
if I said, hey, my friend my friend Steve's coming over. He's a black guy. I've known him since high school. Oh, okay, cool. Steve's whatever. It's just a describing factor. But when you say it,
yeah,
like,
but how is it? Okay, so it's inappropriate, maybe.
Yeah.
How is it a bad thing to name your team that? Like, you're not trying to call your team something derogatory. Like, this is a good thing about your team.
Okay, but yeah, I get that. But it's still kind of a. I'm not saying
like
it's
nobody says. Nobody
I can't
says,
say it's offensive
for the piss poor Braves. I'm not cheering for the crappy Braves. Like that's not what we're saying. We're like honoring this, even if you don't mean it. Like even if you like, I don't ever think of Indians or Native Americans when I think of the Braves or the Redskins because they're their own identity. It's just like saying the word bear. There's like 15 different
I would be
terminations
to what JT said to JT's point. I would all silliness aside, I would be interested to learn more about who it offends. Does it really offend Native American? If let's say we did an exhaustive research study, and if 97.4% of Native Americans have no problem with it at all, then like it's silly to have this conversation.
If one person's offended, we have to change it.
Right, and it feels like, and again, maybe it's because social media, maybe it's Twitter, maybe because you know the loud woke white people are. Let's be honest, they are pretty loud. It seems like it's mainly them who seem to be offended by these things. It just
right.
does.
So again, let me.
And
be
I'm not
clear
I'm not
this.
Saying
I
it's
don't,
good or bad. It just seems
I
like,
don't care what the name of the Washington football team is. I don't. What I don't like is the mob making up pretend rules to try to change things and then pitching a fit about it, and
I
that's
agree.
How things getting changed.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. I don't care if you change the name of the Redskins because you want to change the name of the Redskins. I do care that a bunch of pissy white people in the middle of nowhere pitch a fit about something that's not even a real issue, and we scream about things that we pretend matter and make a difference in the world while never dealing with the actual racism and problems in our actual life.
Yeah, it'll just be one more thing. Oh, good, the Washington team name has changed. Okay, now what next? I have to be nuanced in my argument here because although I can see that if someone says, hey, that name's kind of rough, and I can see that the name might be a little grody and not perfect, I can't sit here and tell you I'm offended by it. That would be disingenuous. I'm not going to act like it offends me, and that's why I can't take up the argument that the name is offensive because to me personally it isn't. I'd be arguing someone else's point of view if I was saying the name is offensive.
But
I'm not saying it's not offensive. It's not offensive to me.
We can argue other people's points of view. That's called empathy. We literally can. You're not an idiot, and you're not limited. This is something that drives me crazy today. It's like people say you can't know what another person feels. Bull crap. That's empathy. I can know what another person feels. Right. I literally can put myself in their shoes and think, you know, that would suck. And I can put myself in someone's shoes and think, you know, I really don't give a crap and wouldn't give a crap what an NFL's team name was.
Like, I would be, I
can do that.
Maybe,
that's not impossible to the human experience.
Maybe this week, because I love history anyways, and I love sports history, I would be really, really interested to learn about the origins of that team name and where it came from, and was it ever used derogatorily? What, you know, was it ever the N-word for Native Americans? Because I don't know. I don't think it was. Maybe it was. If it was, then yeah, let's definitely have a serious discussion.
Like, I kind of understood
changing.
Coming after Wahoo, like Wahoo, the Cleveland Indians logo,
it's a caricature.
Guy, you know,
yeah.
It's a caricature. It's kind of like the old blackface dolls that are really inappropriate, where it's like a shot of a black guy that's like jet black, not even like normal human skin, with these giant lips, and he's eating watermelon. You know, that's inappropriate. I'm fine with coming after those kinds of things. I kind of felt like Wahoo. There's at least evidence that early on, he was very much used that way. It's like, and he was really a cartoon character. I don't think they were intentionally being derogatory to Indians, but it was still the image that they were creating, right?
See,
like,
to me,
I kind of get that, but
and maybe I'm just way out in left field, no pun intended. But to me, like, if Wahoo or any Indian caricature is offensive, then the Pirates should be offensive. The Cowboys should be offensive. The Vikings should be offensive. It's like, you know, we're all. I mean, really, maybe that's...
They're all caricatures.
I mean, it's
the guy dressed up as a Viking in Minnesota.
Caricature.
Yeah, that's the way you present it. Because the guy dressed up as a Viking in Minnesota, you know, the mascot is... No one cares.
And
they
Pirates,
have a Viking on their helmet,
like,
you know. Like,
was every Pirate... did every pirate have a parrot on its shoulder with one eye? Right. No, that's a little bit disrespectful to pirates.
I had a laptop in a people group. You know, that's what people will say. You know,
I had a laptop in Napster. That's how I was a pirate.
You're such an idiot.
Screw you, Metallica.
I just laughed at that. I just laughed at that right up.
Suck it, Lars.
And again, it's the way that these things happen. Because you know what will happen? The Redskins will change their names. And
you're right. It is the way. It's not.
The pressure
will
be that the Braves will have to change their name. Yeah. And then a year after that, the Chiefs will have to change
the
their name.
Because
that's the way
it's the voice. It's the lot. It's not what you say. It's how you say. A great example is, you know, I saw Dylan Short this week talk about how he said that that, you know, the Braves should get rid of the tomahawk because that's not historically accurate, but keep the feather. And then I mocked him because I'm a sarcastic doo-doo head. And I was like, yeah, because tomahawks are historically inaccurate, but feathers are. Like, do you know anything about
Indians? No, Indians wear feathers? Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's true.
And, okay, that's the actual other part of this that I find really stupid. I don't really know a better word for it. Is, to me, calling all Native Americans, is as racist as saying all black people look the same. Like, because, so Redskins was a term, my understanding of the term was it was a term that Europeans used to reference like all Indians, right? Like the all Native
the red
Americans.
Man.
The red man, Redskins.
If they change the name of the red man tobacco, I'm out. Like, I'm officially.
Yeah. So, you know, but like that was the term, right? And Indians called them the white man. Like, it was a term. Maybe it was derogatory. I don't really see it. Maybe there's evidence I haven't seen. That being said, like, the problem I have with it is Native Americans don't consider themselves one people group, or at least they didn't for a very, very long time. Like, the Iroquois, if you called them connected to the Cherokee, they would have, like, killed you on the spot. Like, those were not their brethren, you know? Like there's no – we don't feel related to these people. If you called a Sioux an Apache, like, this was libel of death threat. You know, it's kind of like calling – oh, if you've ever accidentally referred to someone from Puerto Rico as Mexican, feels like. Like,
you're right. They're very different.
How insulting
you're Chinese, right? And they go, oh, no, I'm Korean, you know? Like
– right.
It would be like having a team name called the Baltimore Asians.
Yeah, it would be like having a team called the Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's funny to me is like we've just created monikers. They literally exist separate from the identity of the word when you attach it as a brand to a different organization and then spend billions of dollars to build that brand image into something different, right?
And they're not. So, and they're not. Again, just to beat a dead horse more, but they're not. They're not bad or mean or demeaning.
Now you're gonna beat their horses.
Wow,
that's first you make a laughingstock of their name, and now you want to beat their horse. That's pretty rough.
To be honest, the most insulting part of this is that it represents the Washington football team because they suck.
Yeah, right.
Like
they're
that's the most insulting part to
who
Native
cares?
Americans.
They suck.
I think it's a beautiful name and a beautiful look. When we did our top five uniforms or something, like our top five drafts, like I think it was my number one, maybe? Number one or number two.
It's a good look.
I love it. It's beautiful.
It's just like other words in the English language that once you say the word, it means something different, right? Like Federal Express, like none of us think of that as Federal Express anymore. Like there's no connection for us to something federal or express. Like we think FedEx and we think, oh, that's a postal company.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
like that's
it's
a whole different entity.
And words can mean different things about how you use it. There's nothing wrong with the word Jew. But you know there's connotations where you can use it where it definitely means a negative thing. I don't know how else to describe somebody as Jewish. If I was trying to describe somebody as a religion, Josh was Jewish, I'd say, well, Josh is a Jew. He is Jewish. But you know there's ways you can say it where you don't mean it as a compliment. Same with Mexico.
Well, like if you go to the flea
somebody
market
from Mexico
and you,
is a Mexican.
You Jewed them down. And, like if you go to the flea market and you try to Jew somebody down, that's
and that just comes from that comes from culture.
Right.
Somebody from another side of the country would have no idea what that means. If I said, If my friend's from Mexico, well, he is Mexican. There's no other way to describe him. That's his nationality. But there's ways you can say, oh, man, you look Mexican, that you don't mean as a compliment. And we all know what those things mean. But again, if I'm from Russia, I don't know what that means. That's just something in our culture that we have made happen.
Context matters.
Context always
matters.
So they could have meant Redskin in an entirely nice way. Back then when they named the team many, many years ago, they could have meant it as nothing derogatory. But as time goes on,
I want to learn more about it.
Different ways.
I'm going to delve into it because I suspect that that's the case, but I could be wrong. Also, another word that means something totally different now that was a very derogatory word when I was in middle school.
Fag?
No.
Oh.
Queer. When I was a kid, if you call somebody a queer, that was mean. And now it's like a thing.
Yeah.
That's what they call themselves.
I'm queer. Yeah. It's... Yeah, people use it as a self-descriptor. Like, I'm queer.
And then what's funny about that is that word before wasn't a bad word before, like, our time.
Yeah.
Because my grandmother used to say, that's queer, but she meant nothing about sexual orientation.
Oh, really?
She meant, that's odd.
Like,
right?
Peculiar?
If this beer tastes funny, it tastes queer.
Your mom or your grandma?
My grandmother would say that, yeah.
Does your mom listen? She doesn't listen. She should listen.
Not usually. Not most of the time.
Your mom's awesome.
Oh, okay. Cool. My mom is cool. That was a random thought.
I saw her Saturday.
Okay.
We hung out.
It just feels weird when Josh is suddenly talking about my mom. I gotta be honest. It was a little weird out of nowhere. Just wasn't anticipating.
She's really amazing.
He's just being queer.
She is. Being queer. Queer.
Whatever.
Just being a queer makes it a little different, I think, JG.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying.
The bottom line is...
like a proper noun then.
Well, words are words. And look, at the bottom line... At Washington, could change their name to the Washington Buttholes. I still got to wake up and go to work in the morning, you know, and that doesn't change anything about how the world works. I don't really care. I'm not a Washington fan.
Like,
it doesn't bother me.
The problem I have with it is it can change how the world works.
I'm kind of with Ken.
Them being the Redskins or not being the Redskins doesn't. The way that comes about, though, can change how the world works because the more the mob wins, the bigger the mob gets. And that's like people like, it's just a mask. Why don't you just wear a mask? Just a mask. It's just this. It's just staying at home. It's just this. Well, the problem is, before long, it's just this. It's just that. It's just the next thing. It's just the next thing after that. It's just the next thing. And little by little, the mob just begins to like dictate exactly how you have to legalize your life to be considered appropriate. And so like, the resistance for me isn't principle in the sense of, like, I'm really defending the Redskins because at the end of the day, I don't give a crap what the team from Washington is called. It's the idea that, man, I don't like it when people bully people into doing stuff, especially people who
When Mike Gundy wears an OAN t-shirt and is forced to apologize and then just...
For watching a news network. Like, even if you don't agree with everything the news network said, it's news.
Jimmy Kimmel dresses up like Carl Malone 20 years ago. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And he has to apologize, you know?
And it's called blackface. Like, people don't even know what blackface is. In fact, I actually saw a really great example of this week. Have you ever heard the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speech where she's speaking to a group of, I don't remember the exact group, but it's all black people, and she suddenly starts saying ain't and using, like, all this real Southern slang in her vote. And somebody said, shouldn't we be more upset about blackface talk than we are about Jimmy Kimmel dressing up like a black man? Because Jimmy Kimmel dressed up like a black man in a comedic way, but he wasn't like making fun of the fact he was black. He was trying to look
ludicrous.
Like Carl Malone.
It's comedy. It's supposed to be over the top and ridiculous. That's part of the joke.
And he does look like Carl
Malone. That's
like
Jimmy
Kimmel. He sort of does. That's the whole point. Yeah.
It's like seeing Eddie Murphy in a fat suit playing the Nutty Professor. Part of the joke is, oh my gosh, that's Eddie Murphy, you know, dressed
it's
up
like
as
Frank
a 500-pound dude.
It's like Frank Caliendo doing Charles Barkley and everybody laughing. It's just he put on the makeup to match the voice. Like it's really not that different than the two. So for me, it's just really weird the things we get upset about. I guess,
Sammy Sosa puts on whiteface all the time, and I don't get mad about it.
That's true. That's true.
He does it every day.
Yeah,
I've
seen a lot of black people this week standing up and saying, you know, that they're, please stop calling them African Americans. That Jesse Jackson kind of coined that term, and they're proud Black Americans. They're not Africans. They're They're black Americans.
I had a discussion with a friend one time.
I agree with
how that works.
Yeah, and he
I agree
like,
that because that'd be like calling me English American. I'm not English American.
Right. We had a discussion.
Josh, you're a German American. You know, like German American.
Like,
way to go.
And I was talking with a friend of mine. And we went to college together. He's like, you know, they say that, and I know they're just trying to be nice, and it seems more respectful to say African American. He's like, I don't know even what part of when I came from Africa, I don't know what country I'm from there. Like, I have no idea. Like, you know, it's like with most of us, like we're white Americans. Okay, so we're probably got. Yeah. German and English and Irish and all sorts of stuff all mixed right. in. Like, I don't know. Like, if you call me Irish American, an actual Irish person would be like, no, he's not. You know? Yeah. An Irish American would be someone that was, like, born in Ireland and then came to America. Like, that makes sense.
Well, I find
sense.
It hilarious that people think the three of us have similar skin color. Like, you guys saw my legs this weekend. Like, we're not remotely the same skin color. Like, I'm like neon white.
Yeah,
I'm like neon white, and you guys are like, Josh is like brown as a berry, and JT like it. Well, basically JT's like a cross between some Hispanic dude and you know Nacho Libre. But I'm just saying, like,
was it Nacho Libre Hispanic though?
I don't know.
By the way, JT has amazing legs.
JT does have nice legs,
like freakishly nice legs.
JT's gained a little weight in the last year. JT's got some baby weight,
which is odd because he like above the waist. Total dad bod, like definitely doesn't work out. Eats whatever he wants to. Just
working on a little double chin, like you know, at the beginning.
Then,
of the
but then, like,
there,
but then, like below the, but then he throws the, but then he throws the shorts on, and he has like
sculpted calves. He's like the old man that walks every day.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand.
It's a genetic trait, is all it is. My father's the same way. He's got the same legs. Has been to a gym since he was like in eighth grade and had to for sports. I think he still has the
you don't
high
do
jump
any
record.
Calf,
in high
you don't
school.
Do any calf. Mm-mm. You don't have calf implants because that's the thing. Like in California,
Kenny works on calves implants. A lot more than I do. Trust me.
Oh yeah, we rode on Kenny's farm by the way. Yeah. Saturday, that was a lot of fun.
I
think JT fell asleep in the back seat, but
no, he was hungover and it was hot and
oh okay.
Bumpy.
Oh yeah, JT kept our wives awake until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Friday night
went down to bed.
Friday night, I get up to get some water, so I go to bed. I was the dork that went to bed before everybody else did, and
I went to bed like 10 minutes later. So don't feel bad.
Okay, it was like 11:30, which
to the
is
same
like
bed?
Kind of
okay.
A,
mine was like 40 minutes later, but that's okay.
Kind of a party pooper move at a you know weekend get together with your adult friends to go to bed at 11:30. I get it, but I was tired, so I go to bed. Well, I get up at like 3:45. I looked at my watch. It was 3:45. I walked downstairs, and JT, Mallory, Cynthia, and Nikki all on the front porch in full-on discussion about something. And I poked my head out, and I was like barely awake, but I guess I sounded like a total dad. I was like, do you guys know what time it is? I was like, do you guys know what time it is? And they looked at me like, what a loser. Who is this guy?
I think Josh is self-projecting.
And then I was like, I was like, Nikki, Brindley's going to be up in like 2 hours. You're going to hate yourself today. And she's like, you're right. So then she came upstairs and Brindley woke up in 2 hours. And I was right. Nikki was tired all day, but that's fine. We still had fun.
Josh just emphasizing that he was tired. He was right. And
I don't know. I didn't do that. just saying.
So, JT, I did wake up in the middle of that at one point, and I hear yelling outside. I cannot make intelligible sounds what actually is being said, but I hear women's voices, and then I hear JT kind of in a rebuttal position trying to defend himself weakly, and I can't understand what JT is saying either. JT, what did you do to anger the women's?
I said something about most teachers are lazy bums.
Oh gosh!
Yes, and you're and okay, so to put that in context, Mallory's a teacher. Nikki is a former teacher with
and
a teacher's
Cynthia's
heart.
Mother is a teacher. So
yeah. So yeah. To my defense, most of the times I'm used to saying inflammatory comments and being around like you
with
guys,
us.
And nobody
yeah,
really
right,
cares.
Right, gotcha.
I didn't know, I forgot. Like sometimes people actually, you know, care.
Take you
and,
literally. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, I was just kind of like being my own sarcastic. So, teachers are just lazy, man. You know. Because they were talking about, you know, and I was mainly making a joke, you know, because I always pick on, you know, my wife about, you know, hey, you get like a third of the year off, but, you know, just being a husband and picking.
The sarcasm.
Totally forgot that they were actually going to, sarcasm doesn't always translate. And,
yeah.
You're also not totally wrong. Yeah, I know a lot of lazy.
Well, no, I mean, look, and that's that was my defense. But I do know a lot that are. Oh, sure. And there's lazy police, and there's lazy surgeons, and there's lazy, you know, ditch diggers. It's just, there's lazy people, you know, whatever. But I was making an offhanded comment, trying to be funny, and I forgot. Not everybody always picks up on sarcasm.
I wasn't even that serious.
Like, yo.
I think there's an important moment here that our listeners may not recognize. And I did not fully recognize until this weekend. And that is the JT of the podcast never turns off. He is 100% a eighth grader.
Unfortunately, like, he's the exact
24/7. Like, he's wonderful, but he's an eighth grader 24/7. Every joke is a dirty joke, if possible. Like, if it can be twisted.
I deliver JT's Father's Day gift from our buddy John, which was the game-worn glove, the Jaguars game-worn glove.
Yeah.
And JT wears it. And, like, I mean, he walks into Pizza Hut wearing a Keep America Great cap.
He looks like a degenerate version of Michael Jackson. Like,
yes, he's the redneck Michael Jackson. JT's the redneck Michael Jackson. Oh my god!
You do have a more manly voice than Michael Jackson, though, JT. I'll give you that. Like,
oh, that's a high bar to clear there, Ken. Thank you for that. I am manlier than Michael Jackson. Wow. That's impressive. No, I don't know. I mean, I don't play a character. This is how I am. Whatever.
I laughed at Josh and JT being surprised that I had good beer at my house. That was funny moment. Good beer at my house. That was a funny moment of the weekend.
When it comes to beer and alcohol, you are definitely quality over quantity. Like, you're not a guy that's going to put down like 10 natties. You're like, I might have me two drinks, but they're going to be good
drinks.
He has
quality whiskey.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
And great beer. Yeah. Yeah.
Josh's wife brought us some like weed alcohol.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, there's some kind of whiskey made in Asheville. Of course, it's in Asheville. That, like, it's made with hemp or something, so it actually smells like weed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it that much, but it's pretty cool.
Is that why you left it at my house? You were like, Josh is like, let me get rid of this.
No, because I'll mix it with anything, but yeah, it's pretty good. I think you'd like it.
Okay. Fellas, Donald Trump gave a 4th of July speech this week. Did you guys? Oh, I made you listen to it. That's right. You listened to it.
We rode around part of it in the car. Your farm, and by your farm, we mean your farms, all of your farms.
Oh, okay.
Because they're on different parts of the town. Listening to that speech, yeah, it was great. It was great. It was just American, just pro America, all about unity. I think he mentioned like Frederick Douglass and just different great Americans from different races. And
of course, the news media summary was that it was divisive.
Yeah.
He defended Confederate monuments and wanted to start a race war. Those are the three things I saw.
Right.
I listened to the entire speech, and I could find no reference to Confederate monuments. I thought it was super unifying. I thought the only thing he said was that he wasn't going to let communists destroy our country. I'm pretty sure those are the exact words he said.
Right.
And extreme leftist, I think he did use that word, but it was like extreme leftist. It wasn't even like he said Democrats in that.
Yeah.
And he talked about how important the founding fathers were despite some of their shortcomings. And I mean, I thought that was all beautiful. I thought that's American, and I'm a little confused why people were so
I learned this on the inauguration day. When he got inaugurated, I watched his inaugurational, is that a word? His inauguration speech?
Inaugural speech.
Inaugural. There we go. His inaugural speech. I watched it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it word for word now. It's been a few years. But I remember it being very stately, very pro-American, very positive, all about unity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the main gist. It was mainly America, unity. We need to come together. We're all Americans. And then I think I watched CNN right after to see what they would say. And that was when I was first kind of getting red pilled, you know, and they said the exact opposite of basically what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
But then today, today he comes out tweeting that basically saying that Jesse Bubba Smollett, I mean Bubba Wallace should apologize to NASCAR for the dog and pony show basically that he put on, and then that NASCAR ratings are the worst they've ever been since the Bubba deal and since canceling the flag. Talking about the Confederate flag. I was like, somebody please stop me from tweeting. It is so good.
They're actually up 8% this year over last year.
I know.
But I think that has more to do with there not being any other sports on TV. And they're only up 8%. And
that's a great point. Like, can you believe it's only 8%? Right.
And you now have a household name in Bubba Wallace that more people know about now than any other, you know, like any other driver.
I would guess that Talladega had tons of people tune in. To like bump those ratings up.
The past 2 weekends were really low. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is, but
I would believe it.
I know
NASCAR guys. I went and talked to. I actually went to pick up some parts from a local parts dealership, and I was sitting there, and they just brought it up on their own, and they were like, "Yeah, I'm done with NASCAR. I'm not watching it anymore."
Yeah,
done
all my it. NASCAR or redneck it. Brothers, dude. Like they're out, and they are. That would be like.
Yeah, I mean, these are people that race cars on Friday night and live to watch the Sunday race. Like this guy that I know, and he's like, I'm done. Yeah, he's like, I'm not going back either. He's like, I'm done. You
know? I didn't say anything on Twitter, but like, this isn't a very popular opinion, but I thought the tweet was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know if he should have done it because he is the president, okay? But I thought it was funny. And. Yeah. At this juncture, I don't have any sympathy for Bubba Wallace because he milked that. Milking it. He is, man. He's just.
Tweeting today at Aubrey Huff, making like.
Yeah.
Why are you tweeting at Aubrey Huff? You know.
Well, if you ain't gonna be winning races, you got to find some other way to keep yourself famous and keep the checks coming. Oh, he ain't doing it for getting checkered flags.
Bubba bragging about finishing ninth on Sunday. He did brag about that.
If I finished 29th every damn race of my career and then I finished ninth, I'd probably brag about it too.
You're probably not wrong.
It's not bad. Top 10 finish. That's worth something. I got out of NASCAR when they made the points races and the stages. Unbelievable.
I don't know
what to do. I don't know how do you make the playoffs.
Not
only that, I kind of started checking out before that when you had guys racing at the end of the year who were eliminated but were winning races, and it didn't matter anymore that they won the race. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they're celebrating in victory lane, but meanwhile, Jimmy Johnson, who finished in 20th, is celebrating winning the cup because somebody else finished at the wrong spot. Like, I'm kind of like,
It's so so.
Well, I was getting into it. I was really – Yeah. Ooh, even though I don't like the stages and the restrictor plates and all of that, and just the regulations of it, I had actually been getting into it more than ever, and then all this happened, and I can't.
And this is a gripe. This is a good Donahue question because I know he's a big NASCAR guy. There's so many tracks that just don't. They were at one this weekend, Indianapolis, which is historic. Historic, but the Brickyard's historic, but. To me, it does not adhere itself to a great television product. It's a flat track
race to watch.
Not a lot of passing.
I agree.
They got
can't pass. It's impossible to pass impossible. In these cars. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does not. They got so many tracks that have no personality, and they don't adhere themselves to a good TV product. Now, Bristol is fun. Daytona and Talladega are fun. There are some fun races.
Martinsville, fun.
Martinsville's fun. But there are a lot more, like Las Vegas, that I'm just like, Atlanta's real fun.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more that just they expand the field. You've got a 2 second gap between first and second place, a 3 second gap between second and third place.
Yeah.
And it's just dull. It's not a good TV product. And in the wake of trying to expand nationally, these people just put up tracks so they can get NASCAR to come and make that money. But the tracks aren't any fun to watch on TV.
At the end of the day, for me, NASCAR started its decline.
The car of tomorrow.
With the car of tomorrow, when they moved to the car of tomorrow and they made restrictor and started like screwing with restrictor plates and messing with that, it made it so that every car was exactly the same. And for the most part, you can't pass anymore. I mean, even on good tracks, it's hard to pass. It's not the same, you know.
I get what they're attempting to do because parity sells. Like, look, if the Braves had zero chance of making the playoffs, we probably wouldn't invest ourselves very highly in the team. If you want to sell tickets, the best thing to sell to your fans is hope. You know, parity works. Parity works. That's what the NFL rules, because every team is a legit shot to make the playoffs. Like, you can go from 4-12 to 12-4 pretty much overnight, no problem. And that works because you need hope and excitement. And so I get what they were trying to do, but it does not work. It does not work in NASCAR. They want to say, hey, everybody has an equal shot. Your favorite driver can win today. That's why you need to tune in. It doesn't work. You see the same five people win all the races all the time. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's part of what really kills it. Nothing against those guys, but I'm tired of seeing Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick and the Busch brothers, Joey Logano, and those guys all at the top all the time. It stinks. It's just not fun.
And parity was the name of the car tomorrow. But, hey, Jimmy Johnson won, what, three of his championships after that was put into place? So, I mean, let's not pretend like it was some magic thing that it suddenly made you better. Now, some people have said, oh, well, Jimmy Johnson was cheating. Bull.
Everybody in NASCAR is cheating. Everybody in NASCAR has cheated from the get-go. That's what NASCAR is all about.
The fact that they did away with cheating actually probably makes NASCAR more boring. You know what I mean? To be 100% honest.
They've also sucked all the personality out of NASCAR. NASCAR was built on personality.
100%.
They were built on not falling in love with the race car performance, but falling in love with the person behind the wheel. That's my guy. Yeah. You didn't fall in love because you watched him finish third one time and thought, hey, he's got a lot of skill. You didn't follow a guy because of his skill. You followed a guy because of his character, his personality, and you're like, that's my dude. I love that guy.
You can't fight. You can't intentionally wreck.
Yeah.
And I know there's reasons. I'm not saying you should go kill somebody in a car, but there was lots of times people wrecked the right way. You know, you really can't even like bump draft hard anymore without them like black flagging you, you know? Like, it's just, it lost all the personality. Nobody's intimidating in NASCAR anymore.
Nobody is.
Nobody's been intimidated like NASCAR Dillon. Since February 19th, 2001.
What's Austin Dillon going to do to you if you like talk about his mama? What's he going to do?
Call his granddad.
Right.
Bubba's going to report you to NASCAR, and then there's going to be a bunch of people that say you're racist because you picked on Bubba. You know what I mean?
But they need more
fights. We talked about the noose and how it was a pull handle and stuff. I don't know if we talked about this and how it, you know, doesn't catch because it's not a noose.
Right.
What a noose literally is. But I saw a picture, I think, after we talked about that, of a picture from 30
different point of view. Yeah.
It was tiny, dude. It was like,
yeah, it's like this big.
Yeah. So the picture that went viral was this up close.
NASCAR took a perfect shot, like right from behind it. I actually talked about that in one of the episodes.
Okay.
And it may have just been me and JT. You might not have been here. I don't remember. But there was a zoomed in thing, and it was like a perfect picture.
About that big.
Yeah.
That's
thanks.
It's about that big.
Boop, boop. Oh, got it. Got both of them. You both owe me a Coke. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. I don't want
to do it for.
In finality, I don't care about the Confederate flag. I just don't watch NASCAR as much anymore because it sucks. So that's all.
Exactly. Same. And again, the only reason.
Same reason I don't watch the Washington Redskins. Suck.
The Confederate flag thing is the same thing as with Washington and everything, in the sense of the only reason I even care at all is because NASCAR did it just as a publicity PR stunt during the Black Lives Matter junk. And they basically, the mob got them to change something. And I'm like, dude, you could have done away with it like a year ago and no one would have cared.
Dylan Hurd Jr. brought it up like 6 years ago. He brought it up in an interview years ago, saying that he wasn't really cool with it. And, you know, there's nobody else in the past 20 years that has garnered the NASCAR ratings, and he's been the biggest name since the turn of the century. Yep. Dale Earnhardt Jr., to a lot of people, is the face of NASCAR and still is. But they didn't listen to him. So.
Nope. But they listen to the mob. That's the part that's frustrating to me. I don't care that they changed
it. By the way, Dale Earnhardt Jr., true story, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s favorite football team? is the Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins, yeah. Joe Gibbs, you know, has a piece of that. You know.
He's a big Redskins
anyway,
fan.
That's going to do it for this year, this week, this year's, this week's knock, today's knock on the nation.
That's it for the year, guys. Show,
no more. We're shutting down, but like baseball. It's going to be the end. But thanks for listening. If you would like to support the nation, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/knockonthenation, where you can become a citizen of the nation and fight the tyranny and oppression of overeducated, snobby, stat head people and woke leftists who hate us all. Yeah. Also, if you'd like some amazing swag, visit shop.spreadshirt.com/knockonthenation. Get you some amazing swag.
That was the best
swag.
Sign off ever.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomanation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.